Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We welcome Joe Thomas on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Joe.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing wonderful. We're getting ready for this game, this AFC divisional round matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. Might as well start off with this. Spill the beans here, all right? Was there ever a controversy along the offensive line of the Cleveland Browns as to who should play in what position while you were with the organization?
You know, I can never remember a specific controversy, but before we dive too deep into Browns stuff, I've got a little bone to pick because I know if there was ever a week where you could get a former Browns washed-up left tackle in whatever time slot that was available for him, you would think it would be the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and he wouldn't get bumped for, I love Peter King, but a sports writer. And so I'm going to give yourself a chance to maybe apologize for a second that you had to bump me a little bit for somebody a little more important.
That was me. That was me. That was totally me. And the reason was is that you texted me back, and for whatever reason, I just had a total brain fart, and I did not text Owen that you were coming on, and then he's like, hey, we got Peter King on Wednesday at 8:20. I went,
But
I thank you very much for moving. I apologize.
No
Go
problem.
Ahead.
More importantly than that, Super Bowl!
Super Bowl! Yeah! You did it for him. You wouldn't do it for the caller.
Oh, it's totally different. When Joe
Thomas,
wouldn't
do it for the caller.
When Joe Thomas is all in like this, it's a different story. How many? By the way, how many tweets did you get when the Betonio news went down? Forget about positions or any of that stuff. How many tweets or phone calls or texts did you get about, is there any chance you could still play at your size?
Like, I am so flattered when people hit me up when offensive line tragedy happens, like did this past week with Joel Bitonio and then Jack Conklin hurting his hamstring. But it's very dangerous because I am very not in NFL football shape, and I would totally ruin this playoff run if I had to go out there. And I'm starting to convince myself that I still got it, which is a very, very dangerous thought. So please, everybody, if you're out there listening, do not tweet me that I could still play, because I have a twisted mind that can convince myself that I could still strap up the shoulder pads and put an orange helmet on and have some level of success at left tackle.
All right, hold on, Joe. Guard. Hold on. Blake Hantz is 6'5", 311. What is Joe Thomas at right now?
After the Christmas cookie disaster that I had over the last couple of months, I'm almost 280, which is frightening.
Okay, so what when you saw Blake and the video of him in the parking lot going over, I don't know if it was his girlfriend or his wife or whoever was filming him, go over the different the different play calls and what his responsibilities would be. And then he said he went back. Didn't he say that he watched, or was that Dunn? Who was it that actually went back and watched Cam Hayward?
Who the hell knows?
What would you have done in that situation had you have gotten a call like that?
Well, I think you have to do exactly what he did, right? You got to find any way possible to get as many mental reps as you can in those situations. It's not going to in any way replicate what you're going to see on Sundays, but you got to find some way where you're standing there and you're seeing a defense where you can imprint a little bit in your brain of what am I going to do when they do X, Y, and Z to me. And a lot of times that's the best thing you can do is find a couple bodies, whether it be your girlfriend, your wife, your brothers, your sisters, and just line them up and make them nameless great faces like the Steelers wanted to do to us and try to get a couple reps in.
Oh, man, I got to ask you about that coming up in a bit. However, how much credit should be given to Jedrick Wills in there? Because I gave you credit years ago you know, Jason Pinkston, his first start, and he had a lot of potential, obviously. It was sad how that ended, and no fault of his own. There was a lot of...
Oh, we lost Kenny. We lost Kenny. It was a good question.
I was ready for...
Oh, we lost you for a second there. Repeat it, Kenny.
Oh, you lost me?
Yeah, yeah.
Damn it.
You're back.
Am I back?
Yep.
You're back.
All right. All right. How much credit should be given to Jedrick Wills for how easily Michael Dunn and then Blake Hance were able to come in and play left guard?
I think a lot of credit. And then on top of that, I think a lot of credit should go to Jed for his own performance in that game. I thought he was fantastic. T.J. Watt didn't sniff the quarterback. They actually put him over the right tackle a good bit because Jed really shut everybody down over him. His technique looked fantastic. I think it was probably one of his better games that he's played so far, and he's been fantastic all season long. And this was the first time he got to do it without his security blanket, Joel Bitonio. I think back to when Joel was a rookie and when I was out there. I mean, I was telling him exactly what to do on every play, and that's what Joel's been doing pretty much with Jed the whole season. And to kind of lose that can be unsettling, especially when you're playing in an NFL playoff game for your first time, but also basically the first time in franchise almost two decades. And so I think he deserves a lot of credit, but also J.C. Treader. I mean, I had the benefit of listening to most of the game and hearing what J.C. said because of the empty stadium. And it was great listening to J.C. going out there and making the calls. Ringo, Ringo, Lucky, Lucky, okay, Ray, Lake. Hey, Ham, you and me got that guy. You know, I mean, it was as rudimentary as that. But for him to not only have the mic points and the protection calls and the blocking assignments on his plate and then have to tell his left guard exactly what to do on every play was pretty amazing. And then on top of that, have to block pretty good players himself. I think everybody on that offensive line deserves a ton of credit.
Joe Thomas joining us on the show. So what Juju Smith-Schuster said, how much of it is motivation when you play in a game like that? How much of it is motivation and how much is it, yeah, you got really good players and you were able to beat the Steelers?
Well, you know, 99% is good players, good preparation. But I think what trash talk does provide a little bit of motivation in the form of energy, because that's really what motivation is. That's what momentum is. It's energy, right? It's energy in your preparation. It's energy that turns into focus on the details during that week. And I think that's what it did. But more than anything, the comments that Juju made, I think what it did is it put a lot of undue pressure on his teammates. And I look at it like a heavyweight boxer, right? A heavyweight boxer going into the fight, he's going to trash talk all he wants because he's the one that has to back it up. And additional pressure can be felt by him and he can handle it. Juju played a really good game. It wasn't like Juju trash talked and then played like crap. He played fine. But what he did is he tightened up the booty holes of everybody else on the Steelers, and it manifested itself with uncharacteristic turnovers by most of the team, and by the time that they pulled themselves out of the hole, it was too late, and they couldn't come back.
Joe Thomas joining us on the hotline. When you're watching that game and you see someone as good as Maurkice Pouncey and someone who has been as good as Ben Roethlisberger have that miscue on the first play, no one seems to want to go after the football. Did you notice anything, body language or the way they were playing, that told you about 8 minutes into that game, holy crap, the Steelers either don't want to be here or the Browns have imposed their will to such an extent or something that led to them being down 28-0 12 offensive plays into the game for the Browns?
No, exactly. It was the very first play of the game. You've got an all-pro center snapping to a Hall of Fame quarterback. Ball goes over his head. Big Ben's half-ass running back there with James Conner, who's a great running back. And it reminded me of, like, this might be fake news, but I took a sociology class in high school, and we studied this diffusion of responsibility. When a bunch of people are watching a fire, everyone else assumes the other person is going to call 911, and then nobody calls, right? That's like what I was watching with Big Ben and James Conner. They were both standing back there. They easily could have jumped on the ball if they were hungry, if they were motivated, if they were full of piss and vinegar and taking a hit from the Browns defensive linemen, but both of them just stared at the football like they didn't want it, like they didn't have that fire in their belly, like it wasn't important to them. And what happens? The Browns jump on it and get into the end zone. And it was one thing after another like that. And I think they just looked shell-shocked. And I mean, I have a hard time not going back to the comments that Juju made. And it really was a reflection of the immaturity of the Steelers, but it was also a reflection of and how seriously they took the game. They weren't willing to jump on a fumble because they didn't want to take the hit on the very first play of a home wild card game. Let that sink in.
Just one last question about that offensive line. It is amazing to me that in Week 17, the Steelers looked like the Steelers defensively, even without some of their best players. They got to Baker Mayfield. They pressured him early and often. I think they sacked him four or so times. And in this game, they didn't lay a finger. How does that happen, especially without Betonio and with Watt in the game and Cam Hayward in the game?
There's so many unexplainable things that happen in that. That's probably,
there he is.
Offensive line, you're missing all these guys. You're missing both of your coaches. You didn't practice at all. And you're able to limit what is one of the best defensive fronts in the NFL. And what that defense has really relied on all season is harassing the quarterback and limiting the running game. And you basically kept Baker completely clean, and you rushed for over 150 yards on the ground. How do you explain it other than the Browns wanted it more than the Steelers, which is a beautiful thing to say. I love hearing it.
I got a couple more on the Steelers, then we'll move on, I promise. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster said something about the Browns, and I still think he was trying to not get into it when he said the nameless scary faces thing, but he still said it, and he said what he said, and they took it that way. Chase Claypool then said something about the Browns. Is there a possibility? Because people look at their records and they go, hey, you know, you're not as good against the Browns as Ben Roethlisberger and Cam Hayward are, or any of the other ones. Same thing with Chase Claypool. Is there a possibility guys get to the Steelers and they think they've made it, and maybe this is a reality check for them?
There's no doubt. I mean, you look at the comments Juju made, and the nameless great faces, that's something a lot of NFL coaches say. So those guys were right when they mentioned that this is something Mike Tomlin refers to every single week. I mean, I've had a number of coaches make those comments week in and week out, and that really, I don't think, offended the team. But what offended me the most and got me stirred up, and I think it got the players stirred up because you heard it after the game, is his comments about the Browns is the Browns. And the translation there is the Browns are the same crappy team that we've beat every single time, and so we don't need to take them seriously. We can just roll our Steelers helmets out there, and their Browns helmets are going to get rolled out there, and we're going to walk all over them on our field because that's just what we do when we're Steelers. And I think the Browns showed him pretty quickly that this is a new Browns. And to me, like, what we've been fighting as a fan base since the Browns came back is this mentality that the Browns, they're going to find a way to screw it up. And so I think that's especially why Jarvis got so upset, because since he got there, like, that's been his mantra, is we're not the same old Browns. We're changing things. This is a different team. We are different players. And so I think that provided just so much motivation. And you could see it. Like, the Steelers, I think a lot of the immaturity on those guys, it came out in their comments before and after the game. And it's a little sour grapes, you know, when you hear Chase Claypool say, hey, I don't really care that we lost as long as the Browns lose next week, which they're going to lose, right? That's basically what he said. And I think it's kind of like a young kid. It's like one of my kids. They get upset and they don't know how to express themselves, so they just kind of lash out with emotional words of, well, I don't care as long as I hate you, Dad. You know, that's basically what Chase Claypool was saying. And I think Mike Tomlin's got a lot of work to do getting that team to grow up if they want to be back to the standard that the Steelers have had for decades.
Final one on the Steelers. Should Ben Roethlisberger retire?
I mean, if I'm Big Ben, I don't think you should, right? A lot of reasons, because I think he still gives them the best chance to win a Super Bowl. I think he's still got enough left in the tank to do it. But my question is, after seeing him after the game, seeing him on the first play of the game where he didn't want to jump on the fumble, I got a question, does he have the desire to come back? It seemed like the reflection he had after the game was more about, this was my last chance because I'm going to retire, more so than, I'm sad that we lost to the Browns. And I don't know if other people got that opinion by watching him, but that's what the first thing I saw when I saw that, or I thought was, I think he's done. I think he's thought about this for a little while. He didn't want to make it about himself down the stretch, so he didn't say, I'm retiring after the season. But I think his mind was made up.
All right, Joe, on to Kansas City. They're going to Arrowhead, and they're going up against Mahomes this matchup. How winnable is this game? I feel like Browns fans are talking about house money. We're talking about we can beat anybody now. Is that the case? Can they go into Kansas City and win this game?
I think they can, because if you look at what the Browns do the best, they're a team that can run the football against just about anybody, and that sets up some big plays. And Kansas City does not have a great run defense. Kansas City's red zone defense is the worst in the NFL. And I think those two things are really important, because in the playoffs, a lot of times it's about what do you do the best? And obviously we know Patrick Mahomes, you're not going to limit what he does. He's going to get his points. But with an effective running game against kind of a soft defense by the Chiefs, you're going to be able to manage the clock. And if you're able to limit turnovers, which I think the Browns have done a great job emphasizing all season long, you can kind of minimize the number of possessions that the Chiefs get and the number of times Patrick Mahomes can drop back there and toss the football down the field. And I honestly believe that effective running game gives them a great chance to win this game.
There's still going to be 20,000 people there, I believe. It's still going to be loud. It's not what it would be with 80-plus. How much will that have an effect on Baker and the offense and everybody? Because in a lot of places they've played, it hasn't been very loud at all.
Yeah, I think it will have a little effect, more so because they haven't experienced a lot of crowd noise this season. But J.C. Treader is an experienced center who's played in a lot of big games, a lot of loud environments. Baker Mayfield, he's only in his third year, but he's played in a lot of environments in his first 2 years that were loud, that were hostile. And so I think those guys are going to be able to reflect real quickly on that experience. And it shouldn't be an issue communicating, especially, fingers crossed, Joel Bitonio's back. They got a lot of veterans on that offensive front. Jarvis Landry, like, they've got tons of experience on the offensive side of the ball where communication is critical, which is offensive line, quarterback, tight end, and then receivers even. Like, once they can hear the play in the huddle or they can get their signals, like, that's all they need. They're watching the football. They don't have to worry about crowd noise. They totally block that out. So, to me, crowd noise is not going to be a big factor in this game.
According to what Lima just saw, it's going to be 16,000 fans, not 20, I beg your pardon. Lima, go ahead.
Yeah, Joe, the ball was released as fast as it has been all year by some margin in that game. Is that the same blueprint this week, or will Stefanski mix that up knowing that Andy Reid and, you know, defensively, they should be ready for that?
So one thing Kevin Stefanski's done great all season long is he has been unpredictable, especially to start the game. You think about the Titans game, right? They got to this huge lead. Everybody thought, oh, this is going to be Derrick Henry versus Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. They're just going to pound the ball. And they came out throwing because, and I don't know how much analytics plays into this, but you realize when a team is expecting you to do one thing and they're loading up their defense to try to stop that, that exposes them to weaknesses in other areas. And when you're trying to sell out to stop the run, which clearly the Chiefs think, just like I said, right, the Browns' secret to success is to run the ball and control the clock, especially when they get into the red zone, getting touchdowns, running the football in the red zone. Like, that is the blueprint to win the game. So the Chiefs are going to be calling a lot of defenses to be aggressive in early downs to stop the run. And that opens the secondary to some big holes in the play-action passing game, which is one thing that Baker Mayfield and this offense has done exceptionally well all season long. So I expect, hopefully, Andy Reid's not still listening to the show. I think he had to go to meetings at 8 o'clock Eastern, which he usually listens in the mornings. But this is the secret. I think early on in the game, especially on early downs, you're going to see big personnels, two tight ends, fullback, and they're going to be taking shots down the field to loosen up that Kansas City defense and try to get some early points on the board, make Patrick Mahomes press a little bit, because what they want to do on defense is rush four, control Patrick in the pocket with a constricting pocket on the defense, stay deeper than the deepest in the secondary, force Patrick Mahomes to take all those checkdowns and see how patient he wants to be, especially as the game wears on. Hopefully they can get an early lead, see if Patrick can not force the ball down the field into coverage.
Joe, we can't thank you enough for the time. I'll never bump you again. It was my fault. I just want to say, you remember, Peter votes. I wanted to make sure he was happy. Okay, we got to make sure it's first bout. We thank you very much, my friend. All the best.
You know I love you guys. No matter how many times you bump, I'll come on whenever you want. Go Brown.
Thank you very much. Joe Thomas joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We may very well have some breaking news when we come back. Some very big breaking news when we come back. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.